Well, this morning we're also, before we get into the message and announcements, we're going to receive an offering. And I thought about when I picked this up, if you don't know me, you might think that I'm threatening you that unless you give, I'm coming at you with a sword, and that's not it. God gave me a prophetic declaration to make over our offering this morning, so don't be afraid at all. I won't be standing at the door to make sure you've given. That giving is always out of a joy, of the overflow of our heart for what God has done for us, who He is. And we designated the first Sunday of the month always for us to be a first fruits offering. The rest of the weekends of the month, we have our offering boxes. You can give online anytime that you want to be able to give, but we felt it was so important to really establish, just like we do with communion once a month, to really establish an opportunity to worship through giving to our Father. So what I would ask of you is if you are needing an envelope, a giving envelope, you go ahead and raise your hand and our ushers will come up and hand it to you. You can begin to prepare your offering. And if you make out your checks to Legacy Church, but we really believe that every time you give, something shifts and something moves. Specifically, and the reason I have the sword, one, we had an incredible weekend, both Friday night and Saturday, with a group of men that were up here for our Men's Freedom Summit, and really saw God do some amazing, amazing things. And the cross that's back behind the piano, we didn't put it up here because we've kind of got to make sure it stays stable, but there was we ended Friday night by taking some of the cares, the concerns, the hurts, the pains, the different stuff that has been held over our head for a while, and we nailed it to the cross. And watching those guys do that, I'm telling you, it was absolutely powerful, powerful statement. And we sang that song, you know, "Lead Me to the Cross." You know, that song also, "I Surrender." It's all into this place that at the cross, the completed work of Christ was enough. Now, I want you to understand this. It may sound like a simple statement, but it's got to be profound in your life. Like over every area or circumstance or situation that you're facing right now, or that you will ever face in this time, is that knowing that when Jesus said, "It is finished," that in that singular act, in that singular declaration, every single thing that you need or circumstance you face was paid for with one drop of blood. A single drop of blood. Now, this month, we've been focusing in on that there's this verse out of John, or 1 John, that says that, oh, that your soul, that you would prosper as your soul prospers. That there's something about the management of our soul, our thoughts, our feelings, our mind, our will, our emotions, that's so key. And I believe in process. I told the guys this week, and I really do believe in process. My wife's a counselor. Chris's wife, Cindy's a counselor. We believe in a process of healing and restoration. But I believe this. And this is where I'm going after when we go into our offering. I believe that it must begin with the singular belief that what Jesus did on the cross was enough for all of eternity. And that anytime I face a circumstance and I begin to believe and begin to worry that maybe this one wasn't covered on the cross, I've moved into an area of unbelief that will hold authority over me. And it's so important to recognize, I mean to make a powerful declaration that no, the completed work of Christ was enough for my circumstance. I might need to walk into a greater understanding of that. I might need further healing and management, learning how to manage my soul and my life. But it has to begin from this position, but that Jesus did the work. All I'm doing is applying and acquiring what He finished on the cross. So it's never going to be a self-work. In the same way, when you guys give, it cannot be from this place that you're doing something. You're not doing something for God when you give. What you're doing is you're saying, "God, what you did was enough. That you're my provider in every way possible. And so I give to you what is already yours because you paid for this. And I'm trusting you as I give. I'm trusting you that what you've given me is more than enough for every time, every circumstance, every need. That I'll know what I need to know when I need to know it. And I'll have what I need to have when I need to have it. Because you are good. You are so good." And so what we're going to do is I believe also specifically in a declaration that I believe that today what the Lord is declaring is every dollar that is given today is going to be like a soldier sent onto the battlefield. Hence, I've got the sword. Like there's something that you're making a powerful declaration that as you give unto the Lord, it's a declaration that you're sending warriors into the battlefield to set the captives free, to heal the sick, to heal the brokenhearted, to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, that those who are lost would be saved. In fact, on Friday night, it was awesome. We had a guy who was invited by somebody in here, never been set foot in our church before, and he gave his life to Christ. I mean, that was awesome. Seeing in that moment, it's like, in that moment, victory, right? We're applying the victory of Christ. So if you're ready with your offering, go ahead and stand up. And if everybody, why don't you go ahead and stand up with me? And I just want to pray over the offering, but I specifically want to pray just with the sword in hand as a real prophetic declaration of what God's going to do. I ended the day on Saturday commissioning our men as generals in the Lord's army. And so I'm going to commission the offering in your hand as soldiers to go accomplish the will. So if you just hold up your offering in your hand. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare that every good gift is from you, Lord God, that even the natural resources that we have, Lord, come directly from you, Father. And Lord, we just declare right now over every one of these offerings, every cent, Lord God, that's being given, that none of it is insignificant to you, that the amount is not insignificant, no matter what it is. It is all significant to you. And so as an act of our wills, we hand it to you, Lord. We commission it right now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, these offerings to be weapons of warfare as soldiers that are going onto the battlefield so that people might be saved, that people might be healed physically, mentally, emotionally, Lord, that people would be set free, God, and that, Lord, the kingdom of heaven would become the kingdom and replace the kingdom of this earth. We say, come and have your way, Lord. And also, Lord, as they release it into their hands, I declare right now, greater breakthrough, a spirit of breakthrough, an anointing for breakthrough is going to come into their life, Lord God. Not just in the area of finances, Lord God, but in the area of relationships, Lord God, the areas of emotional and mental health, Lord God, and the areas of all those things that have been really burdening them. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare a spirit of breakthrough. That you are faithful, God, to also pour back into those, Lord, because you have good gifts. And we just declare this right now in the mighty name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. So if you want to just bring it up, we've got a baskets on each side, and you can bring your offering. We've got a couple quick announcements before we get into the message. Men's group was awesome on Friday and Saturday, and just so I don't have a slide for it yet, but I'm going to be setting a date that we will be starting a early morning men's Bible study gathering. It'll be 6 to 7 on a Wednesday morning coming up soon, where we'll do it on a consistent basis. And then that way, guys that have to get to work, travel San Antonio or Austin or anywhere, will be able to still come, gather, be poured into. And so, though, that's coming. Also, starting this Monday night, tomorrow night, is going to be our new women's Bible study that Kelly's going to be leading, facilitating. And it's going to be 7 o'clock starting in the cafe. As it grows, we'll take other rooms, occupy other rooms. But we encourage you, ladies, get into relationship. And this is different than even a life group. We believe life group really is important about getting into relationship. The point of a life group is to gather for relationship, not necessarily the study that we're going through. This Bible study is going to be really for discipleship and growth, but there's also going to be that component where you can really get to know each other and grow into that. So you can sign up by emailing women@legacymb.com, or you can go to the website and you can do that as well. Also coming up, we have our Living Free Conference at the end of this month. I'm really, really excited about it. Just seeing what God did. I'm telling you, on Friday night and Saturday, there's a group of men that walked out of here yesterday completely set free. But not just set free. You know that verse that says we're more than conquerors? And the Lord has been challenging me to live more than a conqueror. It's not enough to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. You got me through that battle. He wants us to build on that battle. And I think it's judo is in martial arts, where it's the one that where it takes the momentum. Tell me if I'm right on this, Gabe. Where it takes the momentum of your opponent and it throws it right back at them. And I feel like what the Lord is wanting to do in this season is those things that have been challenging you and things that you might be in the middle of right now. He wants to set you free at a level that you turn around, and what the enemy used to use against you now becomes a weapon in your hand against him, setting other people free. And so it's about living free. It's not just about getting free. And so many times we stop at, I got free, but I don't know how to live free. And this conference is going to be a powerful, powerful time of impartation by Jim and Pat Banks. So make sure you sign up that. You can go to legacymb.com/LF. Obviously for living free, and register for that too. Also, starting on March the 1st, we're going to be doing a negativity fast and a positivity feast, and I encourage you, we're partnering with Steve Backlund's ministry, Igniting Hope, because they had this all online, so it really makes it easy to participate. You don't have to buy anything if you don't want to. They do have stuff that you can buy to help you in the fast, but very specifically, starting March 1st through April the 9th, it's the season of Lent that takes us into Easter, and I can promise you, this will be one of the most powerful things that you can participate in, because it only takes a few minutes a day to be able. A devotion will be sent to your email. You're going to read it. There'll be things that you'll realize, all right, I'm fasting from negative thoughts, fasting from those negative declarations, and it's going to give you a positive statement, a truth of God. And we're not doing positive statements for the sake of positive statements. Okay, we're talking about feasting on the truth of God. What would God say about that? Well, this thing's going on in the world, and it's just tough, and what's happening in Berkeley, and this and that. Okay, whatever. What is God saying about it, and what can you declare over it? Like, what's the positive? What is God's truth? What's God's solution? And it's going to train our souls on how to be able to do that. So make sure you go and you sign up. Again, legacymb.com/Lent. It's on your iConnect, but you can also go to the website, and you'll see all these things flashing up there. Also coming up on March 24th through the 25th is we're going to be having Love New Braunfels. Let me hear you say Love New Braunfels. And I'm going to let Cindy next, in a couple weeks, give you a little bit more understanding of this. But this has been something that God really, really has been putting heavy on Cindy's heart, but also for us as a city, like, or as a church, that if we're supposed to impact our city, we need to begin to engage in the things like the love, the living free is about how do we manage our hearts. But we have to take how we manage our hearts as we freely receive, freely give. This is an opportunity for us to freely give into what Jesus is doing. And we're going to start in the west side because that's where we're planted. And during these couple days, we're going to be doing something like we've got permission from our landlord over the car wash and the laundromat where we can go over and then we're going to provide free washes for those who are coming in. And we're going to be dropping in the quarters. And in that process, we're going to be able to say, how can we pray for you? Like, God, Jesus loves you. It won't be about, because we go to Legacy Church, we're here to do something for you. No, we just love you. We belong to Jesus. How can we pray for you and believe that something powerful is going to take place? We'll be looking at doing a service on Friday night that would be a revival service where people can come hear the gospel message and be saved and be set free. And then also we're going to be canvassing the neighborhood and praying door to door. There's a bunch of different things going over to the skateboard park and doing some events over there. But we want you to know about it. So make sure you mark it on your calendar. Specifically, that's the Friday and the Saturday, March 24th and 25th. And make sure you show up and be a part of what God's doing. And if you're really big in the social media, we're going to be asking you to really trend hashtag Love New Braunfels. And the ongoing basis would be as we begin to see transformation, we're talking to other churches in this neighborhood, by the way, and saying, partner with us in this. That eventually what would happen is those other churches in our city that just have a passion for the neighborhood they're planted in, that they would want to do a Love New Braunfels where they're at, and we go and partner with them in their neighborhood and begin to see the city transform for Jesus. Amen? Okay, so make sure you sign up for that. Also, on April the 8th, it's going to be a Saturday. We're going to be having our next women's conference, and it's going to be specific. It's a one-day event, which is one of the reasons we wanted to do just one day, so ladies, you can really get plugged in on this. And it's going to be from 8 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon, but it's going to be a simulcast of Priscilla Schreier, and I can promise you it's going to be a powerful time. It's going to be $30 per person, or if you bring friends with you, 2 for $50. So for every person over 2 that's in your group that you're registering, it's going to be $25 a person. But you have to register together as a group when you go in to do that. So bring friends, bring coworkers, bring your sisters, bring your mamas, bring anybody with you. We've got 250 seats that we could actually pack in this place, and we want to be able to do it. With it's going to come a t-shirt, some other things, but make sure you go and register today for that. Now, and then we've got Papa Jack and Charles Karen that's coming in May. Mark your calendars for that as well, and we'll get into that a little bit more, but May 5th through the 7th. So why don't you pray with me? Father, we just give you praise for all that you're doing in this place. We pray, Lord, that you give me crystal clarity of speech to communicate what you're wanting to communicate. But more clearly, Lord, that our hearts would be open to every word that you would want to speak over us. And we declare this right now in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. If you turn your Bibles right now to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll get to that in a second. I think it's amazing the testimonies that we're getting. Dana was just talking about how when those kids prayed over her, just having a tangible, God answered in a moment. And we had other kids, other testimonies, other adults saying, hey, this got really touched. Before I preach in the message, I do want to lift up right now, though, specifically Peggy's son, Doug, who has level four of kidney disease, where the kidneys are going to fail over a period of time if they're not healed. And this morning, the reason I'm doing it now is in our prayer time, pre-service prayer time, we just had a powerful time praying at 9. And we got towards the tail end, and Ryan Stolte, our men's director, says, hey, is anybody dealing with like a pain right here, like their kidneys, really specifically? And, you know, none of us in the room had that. And it was like somebody in the sanctuary is going to have that. So as Ryan came inside and encountered Peggy, he says, how are you doing? So she shared the story. He goes, God wants to heal that, because this morning I had just a word of knowledge that God wants to go after kidneys specifically. And so we're going to pray over Doug, but I want to ask, is there anybody else that you've been having kidney issues or kidney concerns or kidney pain? Philip, anybody else? Okay. So once you, Peggy, if you stand up, Philip, if you stand up, and what I'm going to ask you guys to do is join with us with faith. Remember, what Jesus did on the cross was enough. When he died on the cross, he paid the full penalty for the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin is disease, right? And so we believe that there's healing right now. So if you're around these folks, would you reach out and just put your hands on them right now and just join with me in faith and prayer? And right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you are a good Savior, that on the cross, by your stripes, we are healed, and there's not one disease, there's not one illness that escaped the cross of Christ. And right now, specifically over Doug, Lord, and over Philip, Lord, we declare wholeness, we declare creative miracles right now. Those areas of those kidneys that are not functioning correctly, Lord. We don't want just a repair of the old thing, Lord God, but we want a brand new kidney, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We just declare heat to be able to come into those places right now. Touch them, encounter them, full functionality, Lord God. And Lord, I just declare, Lord, also those other organs, the other systems of the body that are impacted or have been impacted by kidneys that were operating less than you designed. Right now, we declare wholeness over those areas of the body as well. And Lord, we thank you that life is flowing into their bodies right now, the creative power of Jesus, the resurrection power of Jesus. And we declare this in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yeah, give him praise, please. Like, let's just go ahead and say thank you, God, for healing right now. I feel like I'll get to the message. The message right now is what Jesus does, okay, and it'll fit into this. But I remember a little over a year ago, I was in Thailand and Singapore on a mission trip, and when we were in Singapore, it just really was brought to mind. I think this is something for you to grab a hold of. But I had a young lady who came up to me, and she spoke very good English. In Singapore, English is the trade language, too, the educated language. And so it was really easy in Singapore to be able to have conversations. We didn't need translators. But she had a tumor that she knew, or a lump in her breast, that was becoming very pronounced. And there was a lot of fear over this, because several years prior to, I think like 2 years prior to that, in her other breast, she'd had a lump, had to go through a surgery, but it was one of the most traumatic surgeries. She says like everything that could go wrong went wrong, and they removed it, but it was just very traumatic. And so she was really worried and concerned on two levels. One, because obviously a tumor can become cancerous and nobody wants that. But also having the thought of having to go back under another surgery after what she went through was just terrifying to her. And so we just said, all right, we're going to pray right now. And as we began to pray, she said that right where that lump is, it began to burn like fire. Like her, just and not her whole chest, but specifically the tumor itself just began to burn, like searing hot. And as we began to pray, and then I just felt the Lord say, now release peace over. And we began to pray over specifically the trauma and remove the trauma from that previous surgery. And then so as I'm praying over her, all of a sudden, man, she just became so overwhelmed by the Spirit. And she went out slain in the Spirit and was just on the ground. And was there for about 20 minutes and just prayed over. And I felt like the Lord said, I'm doing surgery. Go ahead and walk away. Pray with other people. So after done, we come back over there. And she's sitting, you know, with her arms around her knees, just on the ground with his tears pouring down. And so I just sat next to her and I said, "What happened?" She says, "It's gone." I said, "Well, how do you know?" She goes, "I could feel the lump before. It wasn't like I'm guessing that it's gone. Like, I could feel it burning, and it's not there now." But she says, more importantly, that trauma from that surgery was gone, right? And so our God heals. Who needs that this morning? Who needed that testimony? Because God is a God of restoration. He's also a God of restitution, where he makes the enemy pay for what he's stolen. And so we, as a people of God, need to live with this awareness that when we read the Bible, I mean, it's true. That the gospel, the book of Acts, like every time where God shows up in a supernatural way, wasn't a group of stories that happened a bunch of years ago that don't apply today. Like, it applies today. God is a God of continuing good works, continuing creative miracles, continuation of healing. And he's looking for a people who will partner with him, who will believe that God is who he says he is. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that God is good all the time. Well, what happens when the hurricane hits? And what happens when this happens? What happens when disaster hits? Well, the devil's a dirty player. He steals, he kills, he destroys. But I'm not impressed with that. But just because the devil does something or failed humanity does something does not discount the goodness of God. And God wants to declare over you right now a simple faith that just says, "God, you're good all the time." And when I don't have answers, I'm not going to make up answers to try to make myself feel better or make somebody else feel better. Because anytime we do that, you know what we're doing? We're actually trying to write scripture. We're trying to add to the Word of God. And that's not a good idea. As God reveals himself in scripture through the life of Jesus Christ, that's our distinctive understanding of what is possible. So this morning, as we're looking at this idea, I just want you to know this. The title of today's message is that you're created for good. Let me hear you say, "I was created for good." And very specifically, you were created for good works. Let me hear you say, "I'm created for good works." That means that the fruit of your life is destined for goodness, good fruit that's going to be produced in your life. But the level of your understanding, the level of your faith, the level of your belief, the way you're going to engage with that's going to determine whether your life is producing that good fruit or not. Now, hear me on this. This is not about your ability to do anything. It's not about self-effort. However, if you use your free will to say it's not going to happen, guess what? You're cutting yourself off from what is possible, and God won't force you. Every area of your life. And before I get into this, let me say this. As humans, we like to, for whatever reason, create scales or rating systems for the value of something. You know, we go on Facebook. Is it 5 stars? Is it 4 stars? And can I confess something to you? When we first had our presence online and I had such a fear of man, and I'd go on there and I'd look and people were giving a rating to the church. And when I'd see a 2-star rating and they'd say something, and I'm just like, "Oh man." I mean, it's just like my day was bad after that. Because I, for whatever reason, I cared enough about what was going out there and I took on value because of that. And it's silly. Now I just don't care. I really don't, because my papa in heaven loves me, right? I've got people in my life who will bring correction and bring encouragement to me, and I listen to them, but it's not a rating system of value, right? We rate restaurants, we've got all this. So what will happen in our life is this, is we say, okay, we have this large spectrum of the good things that God wants us to do, and we'll say is, okay, well, healing a blind eye, that's got to be a 10 on that scale, right? I mean, like raising the dead, that's got to be a 10 on that scale. The healing of these kidneys, got to be a 10. The healing of a knee, the casting out a demon, that might be 11. I mean, it's got to be up there on that scale. But loving my wife, well, okay, maybe it's like 4.5. You know, spending time with my kids, helping them do their homework, maybe that's a 4.5, 5. Right? Or, you know, going to work and doing a good job and dealing with a boss that maybe doesn't believe and is creating a real negative environment, but I just serve him as I'm serving God. Maybe that's like a 2 or a 3, because it's not on the same scale as healing a blind eye. That's foolishness. Every time you love your wife, it's a 10. Every time you love on your kids, it's a 10. Every time you go and you just be good, like to somebody, you demonstrate goodness. Somebody needs a hug and you comfort them. That's a 10. Every time you do lay hands on the sick and they recover, that's a 10. Like, there's not the sliding scale of value in the kingdom of God when it comes to the goodness of God. He is always good. When we look at the goodness of God, we don't say, well, okay, and when he does this, well, he's 100% good, but when he does this, he's only about 65% good. That's not biblical. We say he's 100% good all the time in all his ways. He is good. In the same way, when we partner with him in the things that he's prepared for us, it's always good. Like, it's a 10, and he's cheering, going, yes, yes. You took your wife on a date and you hurt her. You didn't try to solve her problem. You just cared for her heart. And all the women said. This is a sort of testimony right there. Ladies, when your guys come in and they just had a rough day at work, and you just say, you're amazing. I'm proud of you. You can do incredible things. That's a 10. You're demonstrating respect and honor that builds up, encourages. Like when your kids, when your kids are going through difficulties, and whether they do right or wrong and all that stuff like that, but you just sit them down and you go, hey, we're going to work this through. It's okay. I value you. I love you. What you do, right or wrong, doesn't determine my love for you. I love you. That's a 10. Because if we operate any other way, we operate like orphans. We operate less than what the kingdom of God is all about. This is also what happens too. We have the haves and the have-nots. We have the have spiritual experiences and those who have not had other spiritual experiences. And we create this contention between each other. We're in the same family. We make this value system of whether you've had this experience or not determine whether you're worth something. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Last week we talked about speaking in tongues and was his gift, and whether you do it or not doesn't determine whether God loves you or not. He loves you 100% all the time. I just say, I want everything that God has for me, and I'm going to go explore it, and I want to help other people explore it. But the value is not going to be there. It's not going to be a value statement whether somebody has done this thing or not. What it is are we connected into relationship? Are we connected into honor for each other and for the Lord? And from that's going to flow an atmosphere of generosity, of goodness, of hope, of excitement. It evaporates the spirit of competition, which brings contention and people take offense at the dumbest things. But instead, it's like we can cheer each other on. Now, when I see somebody have a spiritual experience and I know it's Jesus, I'm like so excited for them. I'm not jealous that I didn't have that experience. I'm like, yes. You get to experience God in a whole new way. That's awesome. Go for it. When I see somebody laying hands on, that's why we had these kids up here. Well, one of the reasons we had these kids up here last week, laying hands on, because we don't you ever think that you got to be an adult who's got a theological degree to lay hands on the sick. All you got to do is be a child of God who knows their daddy's good, that Jesus paid it all, and I just get to play with daddy and release the goodness. And that doesn't matter if you're 80 years old or if you're 5 years old. You're a child of God that gets to partner with daddy. So go ahead and open up in your Bibles. You might have it open to Ephesians chapter 2. And I just want to read you a few verses. And this is going to be out of the NIV. And I picked up a statement. Let me read this to you out of my new devotion Bible. But it says, what he does for us comes before what he does in us and through us. What he does for us comes before what he does in us and through us. Now, I want you to remember that as we read this. In other words, God's already done the work, right, before he wanted to do something inside of you. So that when he does something inside of you or through your life, we're doing it from what he's already done. That makes sense? I don't know how to make it less complicated, but there it is. So verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. In other words, I'm going to say this, that we get so impressed with the devil, but the devil still is powerful. But do you know where he gets his power from? The people of God who were given all authority, handing over their authority so that he's empowered. When Jesus died on the cross, it says this in Scripture, it says he disarmed, let me hear you say disarmed, the powers of the enemy, basically. There's more to the verse, but it's basically he disarmed the devil. There's this other verse where he says, all authority, let me hear you say, all authority has been given to me, and he says, now I'll give it to you. Let me ask you the question. If Jesus has all, and he's given you all, how much does that leave for the devil? None. Okay? So we understand that those who don't know Jesus still have authority with what they say, with their, because they're made in the image of God. But because they're disconnected from God, the enemy is able to use their authority that God wants to give them and create chaos and disorder and disease. Okay? That's why it's so important for the message of salvation is not just so a bunch of us can get to heaven and live with God for all of eternity. That is certainly a central point of the gospel, that I'm separated from God, I meet him, and now I'm with him for all of eternity. But God also has a purpose in that, that's bringing the authority that we're supposed to carry in the right spirit and the right heart back underneath his kingdom versus the kingdom of the enemy, okay? So don't be so impressed with the devil. That's my point. I've been in prayer meetings where it's been something like this. Oh, devil's so big and he's had a lot of victory lately. And God, man, this is difficult. And I'm sitting there going, I'm biting my, you know, because I want to say, stop it. It wouldn't be honoring to do that, but I want to say, stop it. Because you're empowering the disempowered one. How about say, man, Lord, we know the enemy's been on the attack, and you said the enemy will attack, but he's got to surrender at our gates so that no weapon formed against us will prosper. So I'm going to declare right now, and I begin to prophesy a solution, okay? So as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, you dead separated from God, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who were disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Let me stop there for a second. We have to understand that when Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't just dying as your substitute. He was literally dying as you. Like when God looked at Jesus hanging on the cross, he goes, ah, there's Jay Miller. There's all of his sins. There's his separation. Okay, that now that debt's paid. Oh, there's this person. Oh, boom. I mean, when Jesus hanging on the cross, he says Jesus died on the cross as you. But I love this next verse where it says, but also that Christ was raised from the dead. We were raised together with him. He raised as us. And here's the thing, that a lot of times we get this level of forgiveness. We'll understand the work of the cross and say, Jesus forgave me. It's awesome. Man, I'm clean now. That's good. But then I forget where I'm sitting. I forget my seat. And it says in this verse specifically that Christ took us up to heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father. That positionally, you're seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Why is that important? Because when you sit down, you're sitting down because the work is done, right? How many of us, if you've got more of a labor job, and you're out there working, and you're halfway building through a house, right? And imagine the guys are coming out to pour the foundation, and they pour it, and it only gets about two-thirds of the way up, and they go, well, that looks good, and they go and they sat down and says, it is finished. We don't do that. You wait until it's completely finished, right? So when we understand that Jesus sat down, he sat down because there's no more work to be done in terms of effort that needed to be put into. And we specifically are seated with him in this place of victory. So not only did I die with Christ, but I've been risen again to this place of everlasting life where I sit in victory. So we operate from a position from victory, not towards victory. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to work up this effort so I can win in Jesus. I've already won in Jesus. Now I operate because I've already won. When I walk into the battlefield, I used this example yesterday with the guys. When David walked onto the battlefield to face Goliath, do you know why he knew he was going to win? Because he knew God has already won it all. He had this revelation that, I don't know he had a revelation of Christ in this way, but I'm thinking there's this verse that says, before the foundations of the earth, the lamb was slain, that Christ was slain, was crucified. So meaning that before Adam had a problem, God had a solution. And so I think David had this awareness that, wait a minute, God's already taken care of this. So I can walk on the battlefield and all I'm doing is I'm applying what God has already done. I'm just enforcing it. I'm going to throw a stone at him, he's going to go down, and I'm going to cut off his head with his own sword to make sure he stays down. Okay? So this is this way that we're supposed to live as believers. It says, for as by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works. Let me hear you say, not by works. So that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. Let me hear you say, workmanship. You'll see it on there too, on the slide. In the NLT, it uses this word, masterpiece. Let me hear you say, masterpiece. Who's the masterpiece? We are, okay? Created, let me hear you say, created. In Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you were saved by grace. It's not something that came from you. It's a free gift from God. God has prepared good works for you to do, and those good works will be done by grace. Not by your efforts, but by grace. But here's the thing. James talks about it very specifically. Faith without works is dead. It means that, you know, I got faith in Jesus. Okay, let's back it up. Not because you have to strive it, not that you have to prove anything, but if you really do believe that God is who he says he is, the overflow of your life is going to be a life of good works. It's going to show up. And remember I said this earlier. That might be the healing of the sick. That might be loving your wife or your spouse. That might be raising the dead. That might be going to a teacher-parent conference and feeling like you had some frustration that was going on, but then you turn around and you minister to the teacher in the middle of a circumstance. It's all of this together, all the good works. Because remember what it says, you are Christ, you're God's masterpiece. Let me hear you say creator. There's only one creator in all the universe. The reason I'm not impressed with the devil is he's not a creative being. He's a manipulator. And he has to counterfeit. But he's not creator. He's a created being. You are a created being. However, you were made in the image of the creator. And so it says when God looks at you, and this is why the way that we look at ourselves is important. It's like walking up to one of Leonardo da Vinci's paintings and go, that stinks. What kind of idiot painted that? And he's standing right by the painting. He's going like, right? If you insult the artwork, you're insulting the creator. So whenever you look at yourself as anything other than what God declares of you, which is you're a masterpiece, you're insulting the creator, the lover of your soul. And I don't want to say that from his position of shame or guilt, right? But we must understand what this thing is about, is you are a masterpiece. You're the workmanship of God, that you were created brand new. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, you are a brand new creation. The old is past, the new has come. And what that means specifically is, you, before you met Jesus, were one thing. When you encounter Jesus on the cross and you're resurrected with him and you move over to this side of the cross, you're now a new created being. It means that you're not an improvement on the old thing, you're a brand new thing. brand new DNA, brand new capacities, brand new nature. And it's when we come into alignment with this identity that's within us that allows us now to partner with God in the works that he wants to do. Look what it says very specifically. It's not going to be up on the slides. Ephesians 4:23 says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Let me hear you say, put on your new nature. You know what it says? Because you're created to be like God. Does that mean you're God? No. Does that mean you're a little God? No, that's heresy. But you are made in the image of, and so it says to be created like God. What's the character of God? Christy said it earlier. I think you said it during worship, maybe, or just maybe during our pre-service time. This is, but when you can't see his hand, trust in his heart. Trust in the character of God. So it's in this place that we're operating from is like, I might not understand, I might not see him moving, but I know his character. I know his heart. He's always good. And so I was created brand new. I need to put on my new nature. It means I need to mentally, emotionally, physically, I come into this alignment of what is true about me. Because I was created to be like God. You know what that means? I was created to have the heart of God, the compassion of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God. And not just am I created to have it, I'm created to be it. When you hear the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, it says about love, joy, patience, peace. It's so that's part of your being, not things you do. But if you're being something, you're doing something too. Right? But it's any time when we start, and I don't know, maybe this will be confusing, so bear with me as I verbally process it with you. I'm created to be a being, not a doing. So if I start with doing before I'm being something, it's out of my self-effort to be something. But when I start from my being in Christ first, it's from his effort, his design that I do something. Does that make sense? It's when we slip into doing before we be that gets us in trouble. But we're called to do something. We are called to do something. You know why? Sometimes people ask, well, where was God in this circumstance? And where's God? You know what I'm thinking? He's saying, well, where were my people created to be the solution for that? It's changing the way that I think about circumstances. It's changing the way a difference about illnesses or frustrations or even conflict and things like that. And before I used to go, man, that's heavy. I'm not sure what to do about that. Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he's saying, wait a minute, did you realize that you're my workmanship? That you're my masterpiece? And that beforehand I prepared you to be the solution to the circumstance you find yourself in. Let's make it simple. Do we all need love? The Father wants to lavish his love on us, and we certainly, in this time of corporate worship, we can feel and sense the love of the Father. But you know what he's looking for? His body to go be love to people. Demonstrate. Paul said it, I didn't come to you with lofty words of wisdom or philosophy, anything. He says, I came to you with demonstrations of power. So when a blind eye is open, that's powerful. But I'm going to say this, when somebody who's never received love before gets a revelation and experiences love, that's powerful. Even on Friday night as I was watching my brother over here, I asked, is everybody born again? And everybody kind of put their hands up except for him. And then one of the brothers goes, hey, my friend here wants to be born again. And I look in his eyes and it was just this like, he was so overwhelmed by that God was real. And in that moment, he was having a real encounter. That's powerful. So now change the way that you think about your circumstances. Change about where you go. You're not coming under circumstances. The enemy's not working against you. Gosh, if the devil would just stop doing this. No, stop. Don't think that way. Say, okay, God, the enemy's come against me. No weapon forms against me. How are you wanting me to use judo and turn the sword right back on top of him? You've been given a sword, precious promises. Pick them up. When the enemy comes at you, you take it. And let me just finish with this, and then I'm going to go into a time of praying for you guys, impartation. David has been anointed to be king. He's killed Goliath. And it comes to this point where Saul is chasing after him. And he's on the run. He's being oppressed. He's on the run. And he comes to this place of this tabernacle where this priest is at. And he says, "Hey, priest, do you happen to have a sword or any type of weapon? Because when I left, I didn't have time to grab one because my business was so urgent." And the priest goes, "All I've got is Goliath's sword that you used to kill him with. And it's back behind the ephod. You can have it if you want to." And David goes, "There's nothing like it." In other words, the weapon that was formed against David by Goliath became the weapon in David's hand by which he cut off the head of the enemy. Now, is that just for David? No, it's for you. It's for you. What have you been through? Where are you at? Maybe you're still needing some healing and restoration, and God wants to take you through a promise, but begin the restoration process with this belief that where you're at right now, God is going to take it as a sword in your hand so you cut off the head of the enemy. And not just in your own life, you're going to go out from this place, and everywhere you go where you see the work of the devil, you're going to go, "I've got a sword for that. I cut off the head of the enemy in my life, and I'm sure as heck going to cut off the head of the enemy in other people's life." But you've got to be passionate about it. You have to believe in it. It says all things are possible to those who believe. Do you believe that God is really who he says he is? If you believe that, that means that every promise he's ever made will come true. If you've been praying for a loved one to come back to the Lord, and it's been a long time, he will not fail you. So don't, and I would challenge you to pray differently too. I'm going to step on some toes here maybe. I don't know. You know, my heart is not for one of guilt or shame, right? But I want to encourage you to go do a new level. Don't plead with God. Don't pray prayers that are pleading with him to do something maybe, as if you're an orphan and he doesn't care about you. Boldly come into the throne room and say, "God, I know you care about me. I know you love me, and the only proof I needed for that is the fact that Jesus went to the cross and he walked out of that grave. That's the only proof. If that's the only proof you ever get for the rest of your life that he's good, that is more than enough." And from that place, you begin to pray. So, "God, this circumstance is not in alignment with your kingdom. Release it now." And he's going to give you words to declare over your circumstance. You're not going to be under them. You're going to be over them. Why? Because you're seated with him in heavenly places. When you don't realize that you're seated with him in heaven, you come underneath the circumstances. Rise. Come above it. Recognize the promises that God has given you, that you were created for good works. And who prepared them for you? God. I want you to look at your circumstances now as the ultimate setup from heaven itself. I don't want you going like, "God, the devil just really blindsided me." No, actually, God's prepared to blindside the devil. I want you to look at it differently and say, "Nope, this is the ultimate setup." Like, you know, Chris was talking about Tyler hitting the baseball. I mean, it's like taking a major league baseball hitter and putting the ball on the tee and giving them time to go and line up. Right? And knock the snot out of it. I want you to look at your circumstance like this. Devil, you screwed up. God's teeing you up right now, and I've got a sword in my hand, and your head's coming off. So go ahead and stand up. And I want to give this invitation right now. If there's anyone in this room right now that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that you walked into this place this morning and you don't know that if you died right now, where you would spend your eternity, that you can know right now that it's not because of your ability to do right. And let me say this, it's not even dependent upon your ability not to do right, or not to do wrong, I should say. Like you get into this behavior management, if I could just stop doing this bad thing, then God would love me. No, he loves you already, and he provided a solution for you. And the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and what that means is it's like you recognize that God himself came to rescue you, and that there's no higher power than Jesus himself. And so you're making a declaration that there's no bigger thing over your life than Jesus. That means that circumstance or that sin or whatever you faced before is not bigger than what Jesus did on the cross. So you say, Jesus is Lord. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You know why that's important? It was in the resurrection power of God that you were created brand new. And if God raised Jesus from the dead, where's Jesus seated? At the right hand of the Father. And guess where who he took with him? You. So if that's you right now and you'd say, hey, I want to profess and I want to make Jesus my Savior right now, would you just raise your hand and say, I want to be born again? Don't be afraid of anybody seeing it. This is something to be proud about. All right. Now, let me ask this question. Is anybody in here, you need another level of faith? You're going through a circumstance and you believe what I said is true, but it's feeling difficult to believe. Like, you know it's true, but it's just you're in a difficult situation. And you're saying, just pray for me right now that we could cut off the head of the enemy. Is that anybody in here? Go ahead and raise your hand. All right. So keep your hands up. I'm going to pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare that it is finished. I take up the sword that God has placed in my hand, and I cut off the head of the enemy right now. In the name of Jesus, I cut off the head of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I didn't just knock it out so it can get back up. I cut the head off so it can't think, it can't breathe, it's not alive anymore. And I pray right now, just through that act of faith, Lord God, of them raising their hands saying, I want to believe that in that process, that was more than enough. Because Christ, you did the work. You prepared them in advance for this situation that they might walk in the good works of you. Now, right now, I just pray for courage and boldness to invade their hearts, invade their lives right now, that there is nothing that can come against them that you have not already prepared them for. And in the name of Jesus, I release grace, I release peace, I release joy, I release God confidence, that now they're not just receiving freedom from themselves, but they're releasing and receiving something for others. Now everybody, just put your hand over your own heart, right where you're at. And it's in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you loved us, and that it's by grace, not by works, that we're saved. That we don't boast in our good works, we boast in your good work, Jesus. That you died once and for all of us. That you raised again from life, for once and for all of us. And I declare this today, as we go out of this place, greater levels of breakthrough, greater levels of freedom, greater levels of faith, greater levels of supernatural healing power, resurrection power, deliverance power, that God, when we look at those things now, we're not going to go, I can't do that because I don't know how to do it. You're going to go, no, Jesus already did it, so all I have to do is say what he said, do what he did. And that power and restoration is coming through your hands right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Give him praise. Now, our altar ministry team is going to be up here. So if you need prayer for anything whatsoever, you have an illness, an injury, just something dark you've been dealing with, whatever, you want somebody to pray with you, we want to partner with you, but don't leave this place until you do. Otherwise, have a great week. You can sit there and go ahead and fellowship as much as you want, but we love you guys. Bring somebody with you this coming Wednesday. Who's it that's giving their testimony? Darcy and Gordon are giving their testimony. This last week, Chris did an amazing job. That'll be up online to do it. But Wednesday night, Darcy and Gordon give their testimony. Otherwise, have a great week. Love you guys.